Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Choose Positive Living right here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today is Erin Lyda Parisa. Think of Paris, add an R. And we're going to be talking today about getting lost. Seven principles for trekking life with grace and other life lessons from a kick-ass woman's adventure travel. Love it. She says, grounded in Erin Lyda's Parisa extraordinary career, leading women's adventure travel across seven continents. This guide is still living full life and shares life experience on personal transformation, powered by exploring the wilds of nature and the soul. For nearly 30 years, Erin has designed women's adventure journeys that empower them to push their physical boundaries, bound through the ancient rituals, and give back the corners of the world they visit and learn more about themselves than they ever had imagined. Get Lost blends the vision and the personal insights gleaned from their hiking, biking, climbing trips through some of the world's most breathtaking landscapes and once-in-a-lifetime tales of dramas of the wild. In the interview, we're going to be talking about a lot of things about natural transforming that self-discovery and all those wonderful things that we do, whether it is physical or emotional travel. We all are on that self-discovery, taking a journey in life. So welcome to the show, Erin.
Oh, thanks, Sarah. Happy to be here. I love your platform.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, that self-discovery, this is the reason why this network is called that, because we're all on a discovery of self in some way. And we have many chapters in our book of life. And, you know, when a chapter comes to an end sometimes, just naturally, kids growing up, leaving home, or maybe a divorce, maybe a death, maybe an end of a career, it's always that, what's next? Where next? But we really need to know who we are right now before we decide what's next. And sometimes taking that journey of self-discovery is a wonderful way to reveal yourself to you.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. I was absolutely lost in my life early on. And that's why my book is called Get Lost. I find that sometimes you have to get lost in order to find yourself.
Yeah.
And as they say, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom in order to come out and smell the roses. So I started this business. I was an exercise physiologist, which is a fancy word for a trainer, personal trainer, in New York City. And I had many clients. I had a big studio that I worked out of. And my husband decided that he wanted to move to the country. We had two boys. So we moved to Greenwich, Connecticut, which is about an hour from the city.
Not too bad by today's standards.
Not too bad, but it was far by, you know, to commute every day, to see clients, to keep my business growing. So that's what happened. I decided to take it on the road. And so I asked some of my clients whether they want to take a trip. Maybe we'll go to Wyoming. Maybe we'll go hiking. And it just turned into this, like, amazing bonding experience where everybody decided to bring a friend. They said, can I invite a friend? Can I invite a friend? So by the time we were finished, there were 12 of us. And the next trip I took, I said, you know what? I'm going to bring some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it just jived. And it created this business called Sports Travel Adventure Therapy, which is an acronym for STAT.
Mm-hmm.
And it came about because these are all the things that we do on a trip. And I decided to take this quest myself because I was looking for purpose in my own life. And I decided to bring everybody along for the ride.
having everybody else along for the ride gives you great reflection on yourself, right? With other people sharing, you know, what they see, how they feel, helps reflect back to how you're feeling and how you're seeing. When you just take the journey on your own, where there are times to take journeys on your own, go in and reflect out. But when you have other people there, they're kind of mirroring you. They're seeing things in you that you're not seeing in yourself. And having that ability to be able to trust and be vulnerable with a group of people while going through this and being able to just let things out that you didn't even know were there. You know, it's so revealing.
It's the matter of saying it out loud.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like saying it to the universe and it becomes a truth and it becomes a reality. Because, you know, we all have goals, we all have fears, we all have aspirations, but we don't express them enough. We don't talk about them out loud, especially in a group setting. So before anyone joins my trips, I ask them to think about something that they're manifesting in their life and to bring something that represents that. And we have a little talking stick ceremony on the second night that we're together, and everybody gets very vulnerable and there's lots of tears and, you know, there's, but there's, you know, I tell everyone that if there's no, there's no judgment here. I mean, you can bring whatever you want.
Yes.
You know, if you can be as deep as you want, you can be as shallow as you want.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to lose 5 pounds, is that your intention? That's fine with me. You know, if you want to get
better.
It's
about the reveal, isn't it?
It's
kind of the discovery of what do you want? Because especially if we're in flux in life, or, you know, there's more pathways in front of you, you don't know which one to take. We need to take restock of ourselves again before we choose a path. But that reveal of yourself is something that's so important. Because now you actually are knowing who you are, why you are, and how to walk forward. And that gift of that vulnerability, trusting other people with it, I think is one of the most honest things we can do for ourselves.
And we're all human. We're all going through the human thing. And, you know, there's something about being together in a setting, outside your comfort zone, somewhere in the world that, you know, we're hiking, biking, camping, not camping anymore. 30 years ago, we were camping. Not anymore.
A little more luxury now, huh?
we're staying a little more luxury lodges. We've evolved.
Exactly.
We've come along.
And of course, you know, when you've got to a certain age is, you know, things after a day of biking or hiking and things like this might feel a little sore. So you need a bed to sleep in.
we need a shower. We need a good shower.
Exactly. I know that with my son and his fiance, you know, how they actually came together was she was kind of coaching him on, you know, through hiking, through everything else of him to find himself. And, you know, it ended up obviously leading to love and they're getting married this year. But it was that outdoors thing, you know, taking the cold dips or, you know, they weren't cycling so much, but hiking. And there's something about being physical and being with nature that allows things to open up so much more in you, isn't there?
100%. 100%. I am my best self in nature. And just, I mean, nature is my happy place. It's got, even nature could be anywhere you live.
Yes.
Nature could be in New York City where I happen to live. I mean, we do have Central Park, but nature, I walk the streets, I walk the West Side Highway, and I find that it's very nature filled. I love going through all the little streets in Soho. I love going through in the West Village. And that to me is a calm place. You wouldn't think New York City was calm, but to me it is.
Yes.
It's like the chaos and the calm.
Yeah. It's connecting to the energies, and the energies are kind of telling their story. You know, each street you go down has a different energetic story.
Totally.
And it can
notice something different. I could notice something different every time I walk that street.
Yes. And isn't that lovely? Because you've opened yourself up to be aware to it. And
100%.
And then so therefore you when you go down that street, there's a sense of kind of excitement or wonderment. of what you will learn today. And so many people, you know, may take that same street every single day and they become humdrum or nose in the phone or head down, and they're not paying attention. Just because it's the same street every day doesn't mean that there isn't a different story there today.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. It's so true. Yeah, I really relish in that. I try to do that every day. I notice things on my walk every day that are different.
Sorry, got a hair in my eye here, poking my eyes out. Yeah, it doesn't matter where. I mean, nature, obviously, if you can be amongst, you know, trees and breeze and water and green and all of that, that's absolutely wonderful, because the signature of that nature is wonderful. But yeah, nature is, I think, just getting outside of yourself in order to connect with yourself. And that, you know, we could walk through the concrete jungle. Okay, maybe the actual buildings aren't saying anything to you, but just the people walking by, the people on the street, you know, somebody getting a delivery, making contact with people, a smile, a hello,
Yeah, smile.
right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Makes my
Engagement.
Day. Being kind.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, one of the problems with kindness is that some people having a hard time with it is because they're not yet being kind to self. And you need to be kind with yourself to understand the impact that kindness has.
Yes. I mean, it's like, you know, the Ted Lasso story. Do you know? I mean, his sincerity, his optimism, his beautiful way of dealing with the world. I mean, that's why that series is so popular.
Yeah.
It's about friendship. You know, it's about relationships. It's about teamwork. We're all in this together.
Yes, one big village, right? It's only
One
as strong
big
as everyone's
village.
Participation. But, you know, I always draw the analogy of we're each an instrument in discovery, and we learn how to play that instrument, and we can play it many ways. But when we come to an orchestra, we've got to bring our strength and our collectiveness with that orchestra, and to harmonize in a way that then transcends the gathering of all of us together. But we can't go to that orchestra with, you know, broken strings or, you know, music we haven't learned yet. So part of our self-discovery is discovering how awesome we are, how flawsome we are, and what gift we really are that maybe we haven't tapped into yet.
Well, that brings me to my seven principles of trekking life with grace. I mean, after 30 years of leading women's adventure travel, I find that, you know, the wisdom that I've gathered along the way is, first and foremost, nix the competition. There is, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in the front of the hike, in the back of the hike, in the middle of the hike, we're all going to make it to the end.
Yes.
Slowly but surely. The next one is walk with integrity. And walking with integrity means doing the right thing, even when no one is watching.
Exactly. I like that one.
The next one is no judgment, because it doesn't really define them, but it defines you. Start with effort, finish by grace. When I plan these trips, I dot all my I's, I cross all my T's, I hire all the guides, I make sure that everything's perfect. I get on the plane and then I say, all right, now let me have the grace.
Yes.
Let me have the good weather.
Yes.
Let me have the good flight schedules. Let us all make our flights.
Yeah.
Let us have no layovers. I mean, you know, these are things I can't control. It's like the serenity prayer.
Yes, yes.
Right? I mean, just control what you can control and have the wisdom to know the difference.
Don't sweat it.
Don't sweat it. Yes. The next one is mark your words, which is really personal, because I actually have power words that I've accumulated over the years. I don't know how they became my power words, but they are my power words. And they are clarity, consciousness, equilibrium, effort, grace, intention, integrity. And the last one, the eighth one, which is above your head, and it's love. And it just rains down and makes me feel calm. I sort of, like, you know, everything is in sevens because of the seven chakras.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, I encourage your listeners, you know, to notice, like, when you know, relate to a word, or when you just sort of like have this, you know, feeling when it comes over you, when you recite a word. It, and I just call on my power words. So you know,
They're also
everybody should
accountable
have
words.
them.
Yes, exactly. But they're also accountable words. Integrity, right? This is
Yes.
not measured by somebody else's idea of integrity. This is measured
No.
by yours,
Yes.
Right? You can't knowingly hurt someone else because that hurt you will feel, right? When you are in that loving integrity. And I think that's what we have to realize is every word has power, whether it's good or bad. And it's by speaking the good words to ourselves and living up to them, but not by anyone else's comparison or expectation, but your own. I spoke my word, my actions were my integrity today. I own it. And, you know, we all drop the ball now and again. And it's like, okay, I dropped the ball today. My integrity wasn't quite in the right place. I acknowledge it and I bring it back. But, you know, there's another word I love, which is a word that I heard a few years ago and I've adopted, is flawsome. You know, we're all like a broken bowl that we've
Oh,
put back together.
flawsome,
Yeah,
flawsome.
flawsome.
Ah, I
And
love that.
you put the bowl back together with self-love. Right. And now, because it's been put back together with self-love, it can take love. And the more love you put in there, the more love that exudes over. But we've all got some sort of quirk or flaw, you know, and I think it's just be awesome with it, never in a malicious or a way that's negative, but the positive. We're all cracked bowls in some way, but
Well,
those
it's
cracks
like
have given us our
wabi-sabi.
journey. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like wabi-sabi.
Yes.
Do you know wabi-sabi? It's like the beauty of the imperfect.
And I think a diamond is more worth more money when it has an imperfection. Yet we hold ourselves up to this standard of perfection. Whose? Whose? And it's so unrealistic and delusional to think that we have to be up this high standard all the time. And then if you manage to reach it, then people start pulling you down. So why put yourself in that place in the first place? Right? You have perfect moments in your life. Perfect moments, but you don't live it perfectly from day to day. You wouldn't enjoy those moments so much if you did.
Well, that my next one, my next takeaway is Trekking Life with Grace is intuition.
Yes.
Yes, we all have intuition and we have to learn how to listen to it and actually be quiet enough to listen to it.
Yes.
It's very important. And I've had some situations in my life where I hushed up my intuition and it didn't go right.
Exactly. I call that the soul compass. And that soul compass is where the wisdom is. And if it says no to something, I'm not going to argue. It said no. I don't need to know why. It just says no. Right?
Yes.
And if I go into my head and my head wants to talk myself into it, guaranteed there'll be something that will go wrong, something that wasn't for me. Trust that gut, that heart, soul compass, because it never lies to you. It's there to guide you on that path.
Yes. Well, that's the compass that, you know, actually led to writing this book is that I went skiing. I live in Aspen part time. So I went skiing with my husband on a bright, sunny day. And I had just taken a yoga class and was really loose. And I just, you know, felt really great. And I said, all right, I'll go out for a couple runs. And my intuition was like, I don't think so. It's not a great idea. You're so loose. You're feeling good. All your ligaments are open. And I said, no, 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 it's sunny. I'm going to go anyway. And sure enough, I got hurt. And, you know, I fractured my tibial plateau and I was down for 8 weeks. And this was 2020. And then COVID came.
Yes.
And so I was really grounded. And this is how this book became about, because I was feeling like really, I was having a pity party and feeling very sorry for myself. And I decided when you can't get out there, you have to get in there.
Exactly.
So I had some grateful moments of like all these trips that I've taken with all these crazy and wild women. And why don't I write about them?
Exactly. Extend the story. That's what I call a book, extending the story, which I've done, you know, a couple of times, and doing even more with these podcasts with people I interview, then taking it into something where that story extends, which I think is really important. But also when we look at COVID, yes, for people that became very sick or people that lost loved ones, it was quite horrific. But for many people, it was a gift of pause. Of review and renew and look that, do I want to go in that direction? It, how many people sat down to write that book, to look at their lives? This is the gift I've been given of time right now to be to able to truly reflect. And when you take people out on that hike, they get that. But as you couldn't take them out there to do that, you know, this was then the time to take everything you've learned and put it in a book so it becomes that guide for others, which is important. Nothing is ever for no reason, right? There's always a reason behind things.
There are no accidents in life.
No.
No. Only synchronicities.
Exactly. And that's up to us to pay attention. I've just put out a book called Our Forgotten Children, and there's 15 of us in that, and it's all around what we need to change around families and children. And I decided, you know, 5 years ago, I wanted to do this and the timing wasn't right. And last year I said, I'm doing it. Went back to all the people I'd interviewed around children and only two of them could do it because they'd retired or moved on or done something else. And I thought, well, come on, universe. And then all of a sudden, people that are coming to me for a podcast were perfect for the book. And so, you know,
congratulations.
International bestseller. And it's a fundraiser as well. It raises money for the organizations they support. So it's an awareness, a careness, and a support book. But it came about just by universe. You've told me it's the right time to show me the people, and then recognizing the people when they're speaking, recognizing there was something there, and then just the conducting of it. But that's, I couldn't have found those people intentionally, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It was the universe saying, I've got the right people for you. Just keep on doing what you're doing. They will be presented. And if we can get out of the wrong way, it happens, right?
Yes, that's what happened with this book.
Yeah.
People came to me when I was, you know, I put the idea out in the universe and I said, I think I may write this book.
Yes.
And then people were just there and said, you know, I have an agent for you. And, you know, this agent I spoke to, he goes, you know, I have an editor for you. And then, you know, it's just like everything sort of came into place.
Yeah. And it's lovely when that happens, you know, because it's the universe telling you, you're on the right path. Keep on going. We're going to make sure all the people you need on this path are there. Just like you organize a trek. Right. You got to make sure the hotel, the flights, the everything else is there. But that's what the universe does for us when we decide to take a venture that is unknown to us. Right. It's unknown to what to expect. And then all of a sudden, all those people are there to say, here's your support. Here's your support. Here's your support. And it's lovely when you see the end product. I'm very fascinated with the design of your book. Because it's very, very different.
Well, the cover is actually all my ceremonial talking sticks.
Wonderful.
I photographed them in a studio after 30 years of having these sticks on my wall. I took them all down and I photographed each one of them, and we made a beautiful mosaic. Thank you for noticing that.
No, definitely very, very different. Made me look twice and made me really look at the book. And, you know,
that's what everybody brings, all these little things that people bring to represent their manifestation.
Yes.
They're very, you know, personal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
And, you know, I gain that guidance, right, when the time is right and everything seems to fall into place. And you know, there's a certain amount of rationale says you've got to do it this way, you've got to do that, you've got to do that. And then your soul is saying, And then you go completely in a different direction. And then it just, yes, that's right. That's right. Again, it's listening in, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, my last trekking life with grace, my last rule is actually the most important one, which you do beautifully, is embrace your community. And I think that that's my message really of the book, is We have so much loneliness in this world. We have so much suicide in this world. And we have, you know, it's because you don't have a community.
No.
And it really is important. A family unit is important, but a community of people, your friends, your, you know, the firefighters, the, you know, the store owners, the people on the street that you say hello to every day that live on your block, your neighbors. You have to, you know, especially during COVID. I think
they
that
were the
that
lifeline,
really,
right?
They were our lifeline. Yeah. I mean, when I was hurt here and I was on crutches, I couldn't even walk my dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I really relied on my community here. And they came through.
I mean, I grew up with that. I think I'm probably one of the last generations that could go out, you know, like a 4 or 5 year old with my doll's pram and wander the neighborhood and no one worried. Because, you know, everybody would look out for each other and you didn't have so much malice in the world that we seem to have now. And now if we go and see our kids in the yard, we panic. And I thought, well, why can't we have all of the neighbors let know Joey's out playing, keep an eye on him for me, and then everybody be aware. And Joey feel safe enough to go knock on someone's door if something's happened or if they just want to say hello, because the community all knows each other. We've lost that skill. And I think we need to bring it back, because we're isolating ourselves and we are pack people. We need to have people around us. That village mentality needs to be there.
I actually grew up like that too. I'm almost your age. I'm 65. So it's, you
6
know,
months will be 70.
that is a privilege and an honor.
That's, I think, when you get older, you do understand, don't you?
Yes, you do.
You know,
Yes,
I used to be the hare. You know, I had the vision, want to do it, let's do it now. And I am the tortoise. And I'm enjoying all the people and all the experiences I have along the way. Right? I'm not in that hurry anymore. And that's the beauty of it, because when we slow down and pay attention, that's when we truly see everything that we thought was missing, everything that we thought was no longer there. We come across it when we slow down and become intentional and we truly participate in our lives. You know, we've become so much of download the app and order this and order that, the external life, but that internal life of actually being engaged and being intentional, feeling it.
There's just so much outside source here now.
Yes.
I mean, with social media and when I started this business 30 years ago, there was no internet.
No.
So I actually had to write out my brochures and send them through snail mail.
Yes.
And, you know, I had to go to these places physically and interview my guides and look at the lodges. I couldn't see anything online.
Nope.
So it was a very different world.
Well, we physically connected more, but I think that, you know, we give technology a bad rap, and it's how we look at it, how we use it.
Oh,
even
no,
with
it's
the
wonderful.
AI,
yeah.
All of these things are freeing up time for us by being faster and reaching further. And it's like, how do we use it? As you said, going for a walk down a concrete street, it's that you can still be in nature, the nature of the people and the atmosphere around you. It's the same with this medium. We can still connect, right? It's much nicer to be across the table having a cup of coffee or a glass of wine with someone, or breaking bread. I love that. That's my favorite thing to do. But I'm not going to miss out on these conversations, these incredible conversations from people around the world, because it's on a machine. Let the machines provide for us those platforms where we can reach and connect even more.
Yep, we're lucky. And it's, you know, it's really, I mean, it's a COVID prize. We, you know, really Zoom became, you know, the mode of communication. And we really had a lifeline during COVID.
Yes. I was using Zoom for a couple of years beforehand, because the first 5 years I only did audio, and then somebody talked me into doing video. First thing out of my mouth was, who wants to watch this old bag talking to someone? Then the back of my head gave me a whack and going, it's not about you, it's about the content, right? So now it's an audio and video. But yes, I think what I really loved, you know, all those talk show hosts, when they're used to having people 5 minutes, big spotlight, you know, fake laugh and off they go. And here they're interviewing people in their homes They're more relaxed. They're doing it through Zoom. They went into deeper conversations, more organic conversations. And in a lot of ways, I think they became better because of it.
Yes. Yeah. We're all better because of it. We can
choice
embrace
again.
It, you know, we can embrace what we want. We can discard what we don't want.
Now, the people that sign up for your trick, do you actually know them? Or are these people that, you know, like, I just want to be a part of this and have the experience?
No, this is a word of mouth. You have to know me. You have to know me within a couple degrees of separation.
Right.
So, you know, traveling with somebody is really personal. And, you know, I can't, you know, I have to, there's an interview process.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
in order to be that vulnerable.
Yeah, there's a lot of repeat clients.
Yes, yes, I can. And then they bring a friend. Yeah.
But that gives me so much gratitude because, you know, I actually put together friendships that last a lifetime. And so after over the 30 years, people cycle in and out.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, that one's coming on this trip this time. Oh, that one. Oh, yes, I was a roommate with her last time. And it's beautiful to see how everybody interacts with each other.
You're creating a sisterhood.
I am creating a sisterhood. Yes. A connection. I'm really a gatherer.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm a gatherer in my life. I love to have, you know, people together. I love introducing my friends to each other. And then I love the fact that they become friends.
Yes.
Yeah. I never
you're not territorial over them.
I'm not territorial.
No,
you know, I,
no.
I don't have FOMO. I'm like, I'm so happy that you guys connect.
Yes. Because it's an expansion of that energy, expansion of that vibe. Right. And, you know, kind of look at a spider's web and how it's all connected. There's a center point that starts it all. But then this web is all interactive with each other, but everyone is connected. And I think that is beautiful. And that's what we need in the world is that connection.
And then even after a trip, you know, on an email chain, everyone will, you know, just after like 2 weeks, like 1 or 2 weeks after a trip, everyone's like really connected. So you get like chains and chains of emails and texts, and it's just beautiful. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also transformational. I mean,
yes.
You know, I've really, you know, I'd like to think I've touched women's lives and really for the better and changed women's lives. I went to a book signing in Arizona last weekend, and I had some of my posse there, my Arizona posse. And one of the women got up and shared a story that was just so touching that really, you know, I was like, that's so nice. And it really changed the trajectory of her life. Like she had come with me. I mean, she had come with me to Cambodia, and we had a philanthropic endeavor that we went to one of the yards where the children was an orphanage.
Right.
And we brought them school supplies. And she couldn't get over the fact that, you know, we brought them school supplies, but who's going to do it next? This is not a bit, this is not a, like a business plan.
No.
And so on the way home from the trip, she wrote up a business plan for, you know, a future business that she was going to start called the Pencil Promise. And she did.
Wonderful.
And she ran it for the next 10 years.
Fabulous.
So just from that trip alone, she said, you know, her whole life changed.
Now,
and
you
that's
never
just
know.
I mean, wonderful.
There's a guy that I'd interviewed that used to have his CDs made in India, and he was over there on a business trip, and somebody said, I want to show you something. And he took him up a more rural area and he said, like, this is a small town, a village. Here is the school, no running water, no toilets. Right? So people have got to hold it all day. And teachers have got to hold it all day. He sold his business and started investing in schools by putting in plumbing and putting in toilets and running water so that the kids didn't either not go to school or whatever. You never know when something's going to touch you in such a way that becomes that pivot, that calling. And we can have many callings in life, right? But I think when you get that one, that calling, And you everything, you have no excuses. You can't talk yourself out of it. You know you have to do it. And I love it when it comes about from just that self-discovery of being in the right energy at the right time with the right influence, right?
Yeah. I'd love to share another story of one of my clients. One of my travelers experienced a personal kind of success during a trip along the ancient Camino Trail. I'm going to just read it for you because she shared it with me, and I want to share it with your listeners. So we did the Camino, a pilgrimage. We hiked the Portuguese Camino, where we joined walkers, hikers, even horseback riders, heading north along the Atlantic coast, just like Queen Isabel did in the 1300s. This particular walk through terraced fields, lush forests, plenty of vineyards, and peaceful villages represented everything STAT is about, a sacred bonding journey. Walking for nearly 14 miles together all day, every day, was the ultimate bonding experience. We shared our stories while still taking time alone to reflect on ourselves. But this client came with a heart full of hope for her son, who would soon be released from prison. He suffered from addiction since his teen years, after he was prescribed painkillers after getting his wisdom teeth removed. Percocet led to Oxy, which then led to heroin, a painful, familiar story we have all heard and seen, unfortunately. The worst of it all was having to have your son arrested for stealing and then have to testify against him in court. After 3.5 years in prison, he began to heal. And then her mom died. So she came on the trip to heal, gather her strength, and become grounded with women she hoped would be along a spiritual path. At the end of the world, as they call it in Finisterre, she sprinkled her mother's ashes and prayed for her son to come back clean and sober, while also sending healing vibes to a friend suffering from cancer. And it all came to fruition.
Lovely.
She claims they were her miracle. And it's so just gratifying, you know, to hear her story and to hear her tell it.
Yes. That's the thing, is that we never know, like when these shows go out, I don't know how people are going to listen to them, where, when, what, or what they're going to get out of it is out of my hands, right? But all we can do is do what we do with love, with intentional love, and put it out with that love vibration, and people will get
heart.
An open heart. You can't have love without an open heart, right? You can't even know your soul wisdom without an open heart. And that open heart is key. And when you open your heart to let all that love in, then, as I said, it finds its way out. And it will touch who it's meant to touch, when it's meant to touch them. And I think that's, if we can let go sometimes and just trust that what we're doing, it's right. Our core has told us it's right. And now and again, you get to hear the feedback. How it's changed someone's life, and very often you don't know. You just, it was out with love, hope it's being received with love and doing what it needs to do. But it's nice to get feedback of the impact that it's had, because it just shows you, yes, you're on the right track. Keep on going.
I run into people, I run into friends every day, and they say, one day I'm going to come on one of your trips. And I say, you're going to come when you're ready.
Yes, exactly. It is a commitment, both physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. It's a commitment. And you don't want people that are reluctant there, because that vibe will upset the rest of the, you know, the vibration. And you want people, free will. I mean, I'm such a believer in free will. We can give you the inspiration, which is the invitation. But it's up to you if you pick that invitation up.
It's also the biggest part of my job is to get the vibe right.
Right.
Is to get the chemistry of the group right.
Yes. Yes.
Because I tell you, like many years ago in the beginning, maybe 25 years ago, I organized a trip to Santa Fe and I didn't get the vibe right. And God and the universe told me that this was a disaster, because we checked into our hotel and a little outside of Santa Fe and we went to dinner. And by the time we got back, our rooms were all ransacked.
Oh my God.
They took cameras, they took wallets, they took every, you know, like things that, whatever. And I just stood there and I said, now, what the hell was this?
Yes.
Why did this happen?
Right.
And I, you know, you try to go through it and you blame yourself. You go,
yeah, of course.
All right, maybe I didn't give the bellman a big enough tip. Maybe, you know, but then, you know, really I just came down with it and I just said, you know, I didn't get the chemistry right, because there was just a lot of personalities that just didn't jive.
And that interruption, it's like nails on the chalkboard,
yeah,
right? It interrupts the frequency.
Yeah.
And that frequency, you know, that harmony, it can have its crescendo moments, it can move, it can dance, it can flow. But if it's suddenly like the needle on the record, it can totally destroy the song.
But I have to tell you, I'm happy that that happened, because it hasn't happened again.
Exactly.
And it was a good learning piece for me early on.
Mm.
And some of those girls on that trip still come with me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't a deal breaker. I mean, it was an incident that happened, and you
out
know,
of your
some
control. Yep. Yep.
Out of my control. Some of them dealt, you know, better than others.
Yes. Yes.
But you know, that's diversity, and you know.
But that's also a good lesson for who doesn't deal with it well.
Oh yeah.
It's a good lesson to you. How could you've handled this differently? And because you are maybe in the blame game and feel that you have to blame somebody for it, what is it about your own life that you're not addressing, that you need to look at your own choices and your own shoot, so to speak, and sort it out? Otherwise we're imposing it on other people. So sometimes our reactions can be a surprise to us, and at the same time it's a lesson. Deal with it.
Yeah, that was a lesson. That was a big lesson.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, just because one is in sync and one is in the flow doesn't mean things aren't going to happen. It's just that because you're in flow and everybody else is in the same vibe, you handle it with grace. You know what to do, because no one's getting flustered, right? And I think that's the important thing, is how do we handle things? Yes, we can get upset. Yes, we can get mad and angry. But be mad and angry over the situation, not over somebody else in your vicinity. Spend it, release it, now do something else about it.
Yes, very, very true.
We are human. We are going to have those reactions, but we've got to be careful and accountable as how we react to people, which I think is really important. And, you know, had this been at the end of the trek, probably would have been a totally different reaction, because people would have gelled,
exactly.
Right? And so it's, again, that weird timing that the universe gives us. So, you know, there was a lesson learned for everybody there, right?
But it's also the things you can't control are, like, in retrospect, are just, you know, like I had, when I went to Colombia with a group, and it was a really rugged trek. This was called the Lost City Trail. And, you know, it's like a rite of passage for Colombians. And I decided to take a group there because it sounded like a really cool thing to do. And we were trekking along and it started to rain. And I'm not talking about just drizzle rain.
No,
this was
torrential.
Torrential downpours.
Yes.
And in Colombia, they get torrential downpours.
Yes.
So we're trekking along and we had to cross a river. And one of my fast hikers was up ahead, and she got across the river but with the help of the guides, but we didn't. Like, there were some of us that didn't get across the river, and it was a 3-hour wait to get across the river.
We had
so
to wait
here
for the waters
I am.
To go down.
Yep. So here I am. I'm like, oh my God, I hope my fast hiker's okay.
Yes.
I can't believe she got across. What, you know, but she was okay. 3 hours later, she's plopped herself in a little village and used the universal sign of a smile.
Yeah.
And she was okay. She just waited for us. But again, something I can't control.
Exactly.
And it was really anxiety. I mean, I had real anxiety. It's like,
yes.
Oh no, I didn't lose anybody yet. Again, get lost. She was lost.
Well, she wasn't lost. She was just not found.
She was. Oh boy.
I think we need to give ourselves sometimes the gift of just getting lost in who we are, getting lost somewhere, and just saying, okay, I'm completely lost. I have nowhere I'm going, blind, deaf, and dumb, in order to hear, see, and feel. Show me the way, and just put one foot in front of the other. And be in discovery, be in wonderment, because it's okay to get lost. Just don't stay lost.
Yes, that's a good point. Yes.
And, you know, we talk about when people have a great experience, I got lost in the moment, right? I got lost in the feeling. And it's always spoken as a good thing. So kind of getting lost is, I think, somewhere is a great way of finding yourself.
Yes.
So you're still doing all these tricks?
Well, I'm sort of slowing down a little bit. You know, I've been doing them for 30 years and I have now two grandchildren. And I'm, you know, I'm going to do them on a sporadic basis now.
Yeah.
And so it's still doing them, but not, you know, as I used to do them four times a year, winter, spring, summer, and fall. And then I sort of came down. I did longer trips twice a year.
Yeah.
And so I'm still on that twice a year. And I just came back from Indonesia from 2.5 weeks in the Raja Ampat Islands. Not sure you've in West Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, no, it sounds
that
fabulous.
It was spectacular. I'd never gone that far. So this was a 2.5 week trip. So this was a commitment. And it was amazing. I mean, it was 14 of us and we really bonded.
Nice.
14 days together. So just coming off that trip and I'm just sort of, you know, moving forward.
My daughter is a big traveler. I did all my traveling BC before children. So I did all my traveling then. And my daughter is a huge traveler. She's been to Cambodia. She's
Oh,
just come
good.
Back from Mexico. And where was she? El Salvador and somewhere else. And she goes off
gorgeous.
On her own very rarely. I mean, she did go to Cambodia with another girl. She met up with another girl. But, you know, I white light her like crazy because she goes into places that generally a person, especially a woman, shouldn't go in on her own. But for her, it, you know, she works hard so that she can take a couple of months off at the beginning of every year and go traveling. Because
work
to
hard,
her,
play hard.
Exactly. That play hard is something that is her substance of life, the travel. And it's her spirit needs to fly. Her spirit needs to experience. And she's like a butterfly. She kind of pollinates her personality everywhere. And people from all over the world, when are you coming back? You've always got a bed here. And it's because she's one of those people that just loves life and switches that on in other people and they want to be around her. So I'm envious. I'd love to do that. But A, not at my age, just because, you know, things, grandchildren, busy. And and also, would I be as free today as I was when I traveled way back then? We didn't have internet. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that. But people were just more engaging, I think, because, you know, you could go to a coffee bar, sit there, and then people would go, where are you from? And the conversation would start. And
You could still do
like,
that. You could
I
still do
could,
that.
I could. I think more, you know, more into the luxury now, you know, kind of. I like
There's a
to go
beautiful
places and
luxury
stuff.
lodge. There's a beautiful luxury lodge in Canada called Clayoquot Lodge, Clayoquot Sound.
Is that the one on the island, or is that
It's on the island in like
right?
off
Yes.
Vancouver Island.
Yes.
I did
Yes,
a
I've.
trip there many years ago when it first opened. It's like glamping. It's like
Yeah.
glamping. Yeah. And it's so special. It's such a special place.
Well, the island is, I live here on the island and I love the
Yes.
island. I moved from Vancouver, which just for me was getting
Oh,
too static, too busy. And I've got two children over there and I go over and see them and friends, have a great visit, get back on that ferry to come home. And it's, and my daughter lives in Nanaimo, so about 1 hour and 40 minutes away over the Malahat Mountain.
I
And
love it.
The drive is beautiful. Unless, you know, I was driving a snowy rain the other day, not so beautiful, but when the weather is nice, it's beautiful. And the vibe on the island is wonderful. And there's so
Oh, we
much
had
to
a
do here.
blast. Oh, we had a blast there. That was spectacular.
Yeah.
And
I love
even,
it.
you know, we went up to Calgary. I did heli hiking up in the Bugaboos. I just love Canada. I love it.
It's got some great places to go, and we're quite laid back. And I think that's the thing about it. You know, a lot of people love coming here because they can go and explore. It's not about the rush. It's just about the experience.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
That's
It's
wonderful.
important that people are willing to explore and have an experience, isn't it?
Yes. And it's important to always look back and in order to move forward.
I
It's, you
completely
know,
agree.
it's not where it's where you've been,
Yes.
not where you are.
And I say that to people all the time when they're in, you know, kind of in recovery from something. You'll come to a pause. This doesn't mean you've come to an end. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong. All the universe wants you to do is reflect on how far you've come.
Yes.
Who you are now, take stock of who you now, and then the road that is before you, you will see more clearly. And sometimes we need those pauses to reflect. I don't think we do enough reflection.
I try. I think that people are trying more now.
And hopefully they will do more, you know, and it's like the static outside. I've got one wonderful monk I interview, Michel Parcel. He takes people into Times Square to meditate. And he said, it's all very well meditating in quiet, but how to center yourself to be the mountain amongst the chaos and be still. And I think
Well, it
that's an
comes
art we
from
still have.
within. You know, you
Yes,
have to understand that it
exactly.
comes from within. You can't, like, I'm a meditator, so I can meditate anywhere. And
Exactly.
I can meditate with my eyes open. And
Yes.
my husband always comes in and said, "Are you done?" Just because my eyes are open.
Yeah.
And it's so cute. And I say, I'm done. I'm sort of done, but I'm talking to you. You know, I'm
I
still
love driving
meditating.
in silence. You know, my mind is busy driving, so I can let my spirit wander and just go where it needs to wander and see what it needs to see. And I love that. And I think, you know,
Well,
it's
you have self-driving cars now, so
but you know, I'm still driving them. I'm not sure about those. You
I don't know.
know.
I just saw him on the road the other day. I was
Yes,
like,
no.
ooh, I don't know.
They're still meant to have hands on the wheel. But you know, there was a picture of one guy fast asleep as he's being
Oh,
driven.
God. I don't know if I'll ever do that. It makes me too
Well,
nervous to be out of control.
it will be the norm in the future.
I know, I
Whether
know.
our future or not, I don't
Yes.
know, but it
Well,
will be.
certainly.
As well as you know, obviously AI taking over a great deal. The one thing you will never see me doing is chipping myself. Right, because they talk about that a lot coming along, and
Oh,
it's like
chipping.
chipping, putting a chip in you. And
Aha.
no, sorry, we're already chipped enough with our phone and our computers, and I think that's as far as it's going to go. So, and again, I think something very important for people to learn on these journeys of life of coming from the inside out is that. It's okay to look after yourself, you know, the importance of you, not self-importance, but the importance of you. And it's okay for you to say no to people and no to things.
Oh,
Again,
no is a sentence.
oh, no is a full sentence, full
Yes.
stop. I add a thank you. No, thank you. Three words, they mean it, right? And it's okay to do that because we've been taught apologetic, and now, you know, I really should do it because they're expecting it of me. But no, your gut said no. Listen to your gut, listen to your source, right? No. Otherwise, we end up in a hotel with more thefts, right? So that's the thing. Listen, listen
Oh,
in.
gosh. Well, this
So,
book is really, it's been a love letter. It's really a
yeah.
love letter to all the women who have journeyed with me and all the women that are exploring life beyond the
Yeah.
everyday.
And I
You
think for a
know?
lot of people who read the book that haven't done anything, you know, you may not go trekking anywhere, but if it could have you even
No.
walking down the street with different observation, if
But
it, you
even
know,
with your own tribe, just,
yes.
you know, pick three of your favorite people
Yes.
And go for a walk, go for a hike, you know, and just be together and have meaningful conversation.
Yes.
You don't have to go on a trip.
No.
This is really about, like, I don't, you know, this book is not about, please come on a trip with me. Mm-hmm. I want you to do it on your own. I want you to take a trip for yourself.
Yes.
It could be a weekend. It could be a day. Just be with your tribe.
Yes. It's important because you fuel each other.
Mm-hmm.
You hear each other, you feel for each other, and you fuel each other. And then that fortifies you for whatever else is to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to have that. So
Yeah.
it's kind of a love letter, your book, to the journeys that you've taken and the people that have journeyed with you,
Mm-hmm. It
which is
is.
very, very nice. And so,
Yes.
you know, and again, that inspiration begets invitation. So it's an invitation for people once they've read it, is that, yes, okay, I can't go on a big trek, or I don't want to go on a big trek, but yes, I can take a walk with friends.
Yes, you can.
I can take a walk even with my dog and look at it
Yes.
differently. I'm not just walking the dog. I'm walking with the dog, right?
Well,
So,
it's like having a drink. You know, the drinking alone is, if your dog is there, you're not drinking alone.
Exactly.
If I'm having
excuse.
a glass of wine, I have my look at my husband. I said, but the dog was home.
Yes.
You know,
I'm not doing it alone.
I'm not drinking alone.
Exactly. I love it. Good to have that excuse. I've got to get myself a dog now.
It's so nice to talk to you.
Great to talk
wonderful.
To you too. And I
such
want
such a wonderful platform.
Thank you. Again, done with love. So, you know, it is get lost, you know, lose yourself to find yourself. And that is something that's so important. And, you know, by surrendering and allowing, you're allowing people to show you the path. You're allowing universe, God, universe, spirit, source, energy, whatever it is, you're allowing it to show you your path. And when you're willing to take that path in that sense of wonderment, sense of discovery, it reveals so much about yourself and so much about your possibilities. And then you start seeing opportunities,
mm-hmm.
and you start seeing collaborations and community and everything else. It's just be willing to step out of your day-to-day norm and go and do something that will be more fulfilling for yourself. Be a little adventurous.
Yes, let's all do that.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'd love every single day, get up. What does the day have for me? Thank you. You let me wake up. What's the wonderment of the day, right? And that's the important thing. Keep wonderment in your heart. And if you've forgotten how to do that, watch a puppy dog chasing a stick. Watch a kid running down, you know, on the bicycle or doing something. Listen to the trees. They're rustling their leaves and they're talking to you. The ocean against the shore. There's always something there to engage you. So open up and be engaging.
Yeah.
How
It's
do
like
people
Mary
get
Oliver, you know, like Mary Oliver is like, what are you going to do with your one wild and crazy life?
Yes, exactly. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to be humanoids or sheeple and bar our way through life? Are we going to be a little adventurous and a sense of discovery? Because we sell ourselves short when we live to what, quote, people call the norm, which there is no norm. We're just extraordinary people waiting to discover ourselves. So be extraordinary, step into it. Now, how did they get the book? How do they reach you? What are your social medias on your site, love?
Well, my website is www.stattrip.com, STATTRIP.com. It's my website. You can buy my book there. You can contact me there. I'm happy to connect with anybody. I'm happy to give a chat, have a meaningful conversation. My social media is also StatTrip on Instagram, on Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Great. And, you know, I always think that giving a book is a wonderful gift. And a
Oh,
gift that
I'm
keeps
happy.
on giving.
I'm happy to,
Yes.
Even if you contact me and you want me to send you a signed copy, I'm so happy to do that. Just send me your address and let's have a conversation.
Exactly. As I said, I have the one genre, the author's kiss, and it is about that kiss of what's in the book. It's a hug. It's a sense of love. And if you know somebody right now that's going through transition, or you know, I would love so-and-so just to start us doing something. Give them the book, all right? And then sit down and have a little a book club about it when you go for a walk and pop in somewhere for a cup of coffee and talk about what it's doing for you, right? Be
By the
engaged.
way, I just did the audio.
Oh,
And
great.
so if you want to spend 6.5 hours with me, you can listen to the audio because I actually had to audition for my own audiobook. They said, yes, we'd love to buy your audiobook and we'll get somebody to read it. And I said, no. I'd love to read my own story. And they said, well, send us 2 chapters and we'll decide. And they obviously decided I was okay to read my own audiobook.
I
But
will admit, I've got our Forgotten Children. We're in the audio process right now, and some people have put their chapters, and AI is going to do the other, take their voice and do the other. But yes, you do have some people who do not have the audio voice. And
Exactly,
so,
exactly. I
and then,
understand that.
and so yes, it's about the rhythm and the flow. And you've got a lovely speaking voice, so I can see why they wouldn't
Oh,
have
thank
any
you.
problem with it. So, and that is while you're walking down that street or walking along the beachfront or in the woods, listening to the book at the same time, and then kind of being stimulated by the stories and paying attention along the way. What a beautiful way to do it.
It was
So,
fun to do.
yeah. So, folks, get the book, okay? Get lost. Lose yourself to find yourself. And she's not being rude.
I
So
actually have a hat that I wear all the time. It says "Get Lost," and everyone passes me, go, "Oh, I like that
yes,
hat."
exactly. And we do need to get lost in order to find ourselves. We can't find ourselves while we're in the chaos. So we need to get lost in the ether of life in order to find ourselves. So, be willing to shake ourselves up and see what drops, right? So thank you so much for being with us here today. Folks, go and buy the book, read the book, share the book, form a book club. Remember, I talk about podcast clubs too. Listen to a podcast, come together and talk about what each one of you got from it. And now you've got a nice big whole picture. There's a reason why these clubs are so important, because you're sharing perspectives and different points of view, and then you ignite in each other what to do. So it's important to do that. So thank you so much, Erin, and to everyone else out there, politely, I'm telling you to get lost so you can find yourself. Bye for
Thank
now.
you, Sarah.
My pleasure. Thank you. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there, and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.